Take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, as we've been studying what the Bible says about money, we've just kind of covered some basics on each one of these topics. But I want to wrap it up with, we need to always remember to choose wisdom over money. Now, there's not going to go into any applications, or I might say a little bit, but there's many different times in our life where the choice you will be faced with the choice is there something do I choose on the side of money or on the side of what is right or equitable or long-term benefit? Those things all go in to how we handle our money. And it is important that we choose wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." So, a lot of times, when we're talking about getting, we're either getting money or we're getting possessions, right? We're getting, you go out and you get something, you make it your own. Of all the things that you should get, wisdom and understanding are the most important. As you read through Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, if you do not make wisdom and understanding the principal thing, then you very quickly take the side of the fool in both books. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its clarity and truth and thoroughness. Lord, as we open your word this evening, I pray that you would open our spirits to yours, that you might speak freely and that we might grow and learn, and that you would burn these words in our hearts, that we might follow after thee and be better stewards and better understanding what your desire for us is. In Jesus' name, amen. As we've been talking about with these lessons, money is always a gauge in your life. How you use money, how you view money, and how you treat money, and then how you treat other people's money, finances, and possessions around you is a gauge of your character, of your spiritual walk, where you're at with God, whether your focus is on earthly things or whether your focus is on the eternal. And for that gauge to function properly, I believe wisdom is necessary. Think about gauges, if you will, for a moment. You have an air gauge, and that gauge reads out by how much air is going in. You have a hydraulic gauge, and that gauge reads out by how much hydraulic pressure is there. You have a thermometer, and the thermometer reads out by what your hot or cold pressure affecting the mercury. A gauge has something in it that affects how it reads out. So let's, for the sake of illustration, think about the money being a gauge in your life, a gauge of character and ability, a spiritual walk. And wisdom and understanding is what puts pressure on that gauge to make it read out properly. If you don't have enough wisdom and understanding, if you're not using it, then your gauge isn't going to be reading right. If you are using it, it's going to read the way it should, that God has control of your life and you're walking after His principles. Think about, towards the beginning, we illustrated the gauges while you're driving a car. You have your tachometer shows you how fast your engine's turning over. You have your speedometer, says how fast you're going down the road. Then you also have your thermometer, tells you how hot your engine is. Then you also have the oil gauge. And you might think about money being like the oil gauge of your life as you're driving down the road. As long as the oil of wisdom is lubricating your engine properly, you're going to be reading out just fine. But when you don't have that the oil of wisdom there, your engine is going to blow. The head's going to crack. You'll break down. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So let's look at a few things that wisdom will help us in matters with money today. You'll find a lot more, especially if you're reading through Proverbs. Wisdom is tied with money time and time and time again. But let's look at a few points this evening. Wisdom sees deceit. Wisdom sees deceit and avoids it. Mark chapter 4. And verse 19. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now this is just one little blip out of a parable here, of the parable of the sower. And this is the first wheat to grow. And it's grown well. It's risen up quickly. But it's choked out. And what chokes it out? The deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and the plant becomes unfruitful. Now, when the word of God is wisdom, it's how God gives us wisdom liberally, all that we could need and more. And when the word is effective in our life, then we see the deceitfulness of riches. Now, what it's talking about is not just money in general. It's not taking care of needs. It's not even laying up for future generations, as we looked at last week. But it's just riches. If you're looking after money for, what it can get me, where I'm going with it, once money starts talking to you in that way, you have begun to listen to its deceitfulness. Just like the serpent coming to Eve. Hath God really said? You take a bite of this fruit and you will be as gods. You will have more power. You will have more knowledge. You'll have more. It's just a bite of fruit. See, riches will do that. Money, when it's not put in its place, when it's not understood that money is God's, that money has a purpose, that money is to bless others with, and money is to use in a right way. And money, conducting money properly is a way that I can have a good testimony. That's when we talk to the money. But when the money starts talking, but you can use me and do this. But how about this grand idea? You just need more money. You don't even have to have all the stuff. You just need more of me in your bank account. Or stashed under your mattress. Or stuff in your penny bank. Or tucked in the cookie, the canning jar in the back of the toilet. Or wherever you might hide it. Money, when we're gaining money just for money's sake, we have begun to listen to the deceitfulness of riches. The Bible tells us it grows wings and flies away. You watch economies and values go up and down. growing up in Canada and having most of our family in the States, we watched the dollar exchange all the time. Is often sending money back and forth, whatnot. And there's been times that where it was over 50% difference, where both ways. There was times where a buck U.S. would be a buck 50 Canadian, and there was also times growing up where it would be the other way around. And money fluctuates in its value. We might not notice it as much when we just are using our own currency. But as we get older, things get more expensive too, don't they? But then your wage goes up. It's this whole inflation cycle. Money itself changes value. It right there, it's deceitful. That's the first indicator of a con artist. You know that? You look for values in what they're saying and what their actions are that are not stable. The first things that expose them. Wait a minute, the story doesn't add up here. The main thing with money is it's not stable. Money is deceitful. And if we follow after money for money's sake, then we are not wise. And what happens is we choke the word rather than being guided by the word. We are controlled by money rather than being stewards of it. Mark chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? See, first he said, have riches. They, in a sense, in the complete sense of having them, they have them. And that's what they're all about. They have them. I mean, that's their life. And he clarifies that when he says, they that trust in riches. They spent their life gaining and gaining and gaining and gaining. And then they turn around and say, look what I've got. Look what I've got. This is me. This is who I am. This is what I'm about. But it is foolish. Wisdom sees the deceit in money and turns away or turns it into controlling for God's sake. Not saying that, hey, I'm a solid person, I got my head screwed on straight, I can take care of my money. Well, you be careful, because if you're not doing it through the principles of God's word, then you've fallen again to the deceit of our own heart. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Wisdom learns the benefits of faithfulness with money. Luke chapter 16 and verse 11. And when I say learns, not just learn a lesson and file it away for some future reference, but we're talking about wisdom and understanding. That's learning something and applying it to making it part of your life. Wisdom learns the benefits of being faithful with money. Luke chapter 16 and verse 11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Think about that. This is the words of Christ, and he's asking you a question. If we have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, we all have to deal with money. You do. Kids, even you have to deal with money as every little bit you get. Are you learning these principles now? Or is it just how fast can I spend it on candy or toys? You can learn how to deal with money whether you're young or whether you've old and had problems along the way, you can relearn, retrain. But Jesus asked the question, if therefore you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, in the money that passes through your hands, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Again, Jesus is showing that God sees money as an indicator in your life. God is the one who entrusts you with true riches. And if he sees that you can't even handle a few dollars, how do you expect him to trust you with greater things? Oh, so-and-so, man, they're so spiritual. I wish I could be as spiritual as them. Well, rather than wishing you could be as spiritual as someone else, maybe we need to stop and think, okay, what is standing in the way in my life, impeding my spiritual, my walk with Christ. Our walk with Christ is not gained by trying to catch the beams radiating off someone else. Our walk with Christ is gained by being with Jesus, being in the Word, and gaining wisdom and practicing it. Wisdom learns the benefits of being faithful with money. Wisdom values God's Word equally, if not more, than money. Psalm 119. Obviously, as a whole, you ought to value God's Word more than money. But in this passage, it's using it, it's looking at them on the same page. And as we've been looking at, a lot of times, we don't look at them on the same page, do we? We've got our Bible, our devotional time, our church time, but then we've got our work and our savings and our investments and our money and so forth. We don't always look at them on the same page. Psalm 119 and verse 14 says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. David said he was trying to get other people to understand how much he rejoiced in God's Word and in the way that God says to live. He says, see the rich man, how he rejoices in his riches? You think about the times where you feel successful with money. You've got a job well done. Somebody's paid you. You look at that, man, that was money well earned. I did a good job. I deserved that money. And you feel a rush because of that. David said, that's how much I rejoice in the Word. That I get that kind of a rush, I get that kind of power from walking in the way that God says to walk. Wisdom learns to value God's Word equally with money. As I said to begin with, sometimes there's times in your life where you'll have to choose what to do with some money or something of value. As we've been looking at, just recap a little bit. Sometimes someone else will lose or break an item and it costs you money. Now the Bible says that wisdom looks at the relationship or looks at the testimony of Christ, and knows when to say, yeah, that's fine. Just walk away from it. Don't press it. And God will take care of replacing what you need. Now, if you're the one to break it, if you're the one to lose someone's money, then you need to also use wisdom and realize that, okay, that's my problem. And I'm going to do what I can to replace those things. There's times where there's a questionable investment or a questionable endeavor presented to you, and you feel like maybe the Bible says something about it, but you know, there's a bit of a question, so if I don't look, then I won't have to answer for what I didn't know. And we usually don't actually think that, but the subliminal thought is there, isn't it? If I... Oh, I'll flip my Bible open. Oh, no, didn't see it. Okay, it's fine. Wisdom values God's words and God's ways equally with money. Oh, but Lord, look at all the money we can make. But that's not the way you should do it. How about do this way instead? And God will bless you richly. With wisdom, if nothing else. A great example of this is the multi-level schemes. And there's so many of them. So many variations of them these days. And so many Christians get caught up in them. But if you're making money off of someone else's expense, you're cutting into biblical principles that God says not to do. No matter what kind of scheme it is, if it's a tiered scheme where the guy above you makes money off of you and the one below, and you're making money off that one and the next one, all you're doing is passing it around, and it's not wise. It's not the labor that Proverbs says that all labor hath profit. Excuse me. But the fool and his money are parted. Wisdom values God's word equally. It brings money into every equation when we're considering what to do with our money, what to do with a financial situation, what to do with if the bills come in and the money didn't. What to do when we come into a success, and to remind ourselves that, okay, this success is great, I can ride this high, but do I get this same amount of energizing from God's Word, from learning, from gaining a closer walk with Christ? Wisdom also learns the difference between principles, the necessary money, the things that we've been looking at, and riches, as when the Bible says, like, the deceitfulness of riches, the riches that are being talked about there. Proverbs, again, Proverbs chapter 23. And verse 4. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Again, the deceitfulness of our own heart. Labor not to be rich. Now, again, the Proverbs especially, and Ecclesiastes, and other places in the Bible, tells us to labor for money, to labor for a wage, and to labor to meet the needs of those around us, and to meet the needs of our family, and to lay up for future generations. It tells us to labor for money. But it tells us also, labor not to be rich. Wisdom will learn the difference between the principles, proper use, proper stewardship, and riches. Money that we're just laying up for ourselves, as we looked at last week. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. 'But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition.' They that will be rich, they that want to lay up money for themselves, for yourself. You say, well, I'm going to have all these things. If that's your goal, then you need to backpedal and learn some wisdom and get it to apply. They that will be rich fall into a snare. In destruction. They drown in destruction and perdition. This one bad thing on top of another, one sin after another, because your goal is wrong. Your goal is on the earthly things. What can I have right now, right here? If it's for you, then you've got the wrong goal, the wrong focus. If it's for the Lord, if it's for the benefit of others, if it's to have something to be a blessing as God allows it, then that's the right focus. Then we also need to remember, wisdom will learn that wisdom is best. wisdom will learn that wisdom is best. Sometimes you'll come to a point where you need to walk away from money, whether a large or a small amount, whether a particular job or not. And that's practicing wisdom. Many missionaries will tell you about times where they felt the call of God and to go into a different field, whether taking a church or whether going to a foreign field. And they really felt the call of God, and shortly after, their boss says, "How about this? I'm going to give you a better position. I'm going to up your wages. I'm going to do all this wonderful stuff for you. Just stay here." Wisdom's going to learn that wisdom and obedience to God is best. maybe it's not something as spiritually minded as going into ministry. Maybe it's something simply as following God's principles. When Tiffany and I we hadn't been married for very long. Some guys that I work construction with offered me a job on one of the islands off the coast, and it was going to be a 6-month tour. And I think it was over the winter. Tiffany's not in here. I think it was over the winter. You took the ferry out, and it was the last ferry for the season, and you stayed there until the job was done, and the boat came back in the spring. And it was a good job. I mean, it was working with all Christians. The pay was good, lodgings and everything was taken care of. I mean, it was tempting. But there'd be no church. There'd be no, it was just you went and did construction for 6 months straight. And we talked about that. We prayed about that. We talked to my parents and pastor and thought, as tempting as that is, it doesn't fit the principles of God's Word. So we didn't do it. There's times where wisdom learns that wisdom is the best thing. Proverbs 16 and verse 16 says, "How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver." There's times where there'll be that carrot dangled in front of you, and you have a choice to make. Do I follow God? Do I do what's right? Do I do what benefits others in a scriptural way? Or do I just, figure, well, it'll all pan out in the end. I'll just go make money. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Remember that verse when you face that choice. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 11. "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." Think about that. Wisdom is better than some very valuable stones. Rubies are one of the harder to find of really good jewels. They're more valuable than many others. Rubies and diamonds, the Bible puts them up there together, and so does the world. but wisdom is better than rubies. Excuse me. And if you look through this entire chapter 8, it says it over and over again, that wisdom is better than gold, than silver. Learning from wisdom gives riches in the heart, and so forth. Wisdom is best. And again, as you read through Proverbs, as you study the Proverbs and learn to apply wisdom, it teaches you how to deal with your finances properly. It is the oil that pressurizes the gauge to run that in your life. It is the oil that keeps the engine running, that allows God to look at your life, to read your gauges and say, there is a faithful steward. I'll give him some more to be faithful with. Think about that. I'm not saying that God's going to bless you with great riches and we're all going to be a wealthy, happy, everything going great church. But the only way that God will bless you with finances to do things that bless Him is if we first walk faithfully and use wisdom in our daily lives. If our gauge is reading properly, God says, yes, I can trust them with true riches. Riches of the heart and riches temporal, but that will bless others around them, that will have a good testimony, that will further God's ministry. You can, as we looked at before, you can further the gospel with money. You can further a local testimony with money. If you have God's principles first and foremost in your life. All of these things, all of these lessons that we've been going through, without wisdom, they're nothing. They're just a lot of good ideas. But as we apply God's word, we learn that God's word is all wise. And we apply that to our lives. We begin to understand how God knows better than we do. God knows all the financial schemes and plans and profits that are out there. He's in control of them. He's outside of time. He's through all time. He's involved in every aspect of your life. Wisdom is when you allow Him to not just be involved, but be in control and have ownership. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to learn to be wise with the things that you bless us with, to learn to be wise in the paths we choose to walk and the goals that we choose to place in front of us. Lord, direct our thoughts and our eyes that they would be on you and not on the riches themselves, that they would be on taking care of others and not our own designs and desires. And that, Lord, we might be a benefit and blessing to those around, that your name might be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.